Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my friend, the crocodile hunter, Frank. How are you today?
Good day, mate.
Hey, good day.
Did I do that right?
Yeah, that's not the crocodile hunting I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
We should do an episode on the Crocodile Hunter. I have 5 minutes of things to say about it.
I have nothing to say about it.
Anyway.
Never seen.
You have a beer.
I do.
For me. I don't know what it is.
You don't. And this is not a like themed beer or anything. Although, now that I think about it, we probably could have done like a main beer for this, but that's fine. There's plenty of other chances to drink good main beer. This is a beer that I picked up after seeing, I'll tell the story after, but tell people what I just pulled out.
The 1993 Repeal Reserve Budweiser Amber Lager.
1933.
What did I say?
1993.
Oh, 1933.
1933. So Budweiser has, for a limited time, put out their original pre-prohibition recipe.
Whoa.
And it's, you know, it's a little bit of a stunt. I was reading the history of it, and I think Coors did it a couple of years ago too, and a couple of those others.
Sure.
Coors have been around for a while, did it. But I saw this. My local liquor store has an Instagram account that's quite well run, and I saw it the other day, and I was like, "Ooh!" They posted they had it, and I was like, "I need to try that." So I figured, "Hey, why not? Why not bring it and we both get to try it?"
That's cool.
So
I wish this was. I mean, we've already done the Great Gatsby, but I wish this was like our Gatsby episode
like
something.
I was gonna see if like an old gangster or something would be cool.
Right.
A prohibition, but like the labels look like
they used to.
Like they used to. Yeah, I'm gonna open this for you and give you one.
I want to reach.
Yes,
reach for it.
There you go.
That's a good sound. You have going there.
Viewers. Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and open one up.
Even the bottles are different. The neck is a lot shorter. It's like stockier.
It's like Switchback does with their bottles. You know, it's the old fashioned bottles, and it's got their insignia imprinted on the glass. And it's just a nice looking bottle, and the old gold label and everything. So
this is so cool.
This may be better, may not be any better. I've heard it's better than regular Budweiser, but let's try it for ourselves. Let's go. Mm-mm. Oh, that's definitely better than
that. Definitely better than regular Budweiser.
Yeah. It's not like mind-blowingly like amazing beer, but it's good. It's good. It's definitely
good,
better than
solid beer.
It's a good. It tastes like
tastes like beer.
Like a decent. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Like a decent, craft beer. So yeah, it's an amber lager, the 1933 Repeal Reserve.
It's got a 6.1.
Yeah, so the...
That's 6.1 more than what Bud has now.
Pretty much. Apparently, the old recipe was 5.0, and so they modified this a little bit. So it's not exactly 100%, the original recipe, but it is modified a little bit to be a little heavier, a little higher alcohol content.
I joke. I actually... Regular Bud I like. I don't care for Bud Light. It's a little too light.
But
when you kind of want to have like a cool drink and you know what I mean, and you don't want to think about, well, now I've got to drive or whatever,
yeah.
It's not a bad way to go.
To me, this is going to sound counterintuitive, but if I'm going to drink beer that bad, like that
light,
I would rather drink a Bud Light, because at least then it's like, well, at least I'm not going to lay. It's like fewer calories and stuff.
Oh, I meant Bud Light particularly.
Bud Light's fine. Yeah. But regular, Bud Heavy, I just don't drink unless I kind of have to.
I don't drink if it's the only option,
the only beer. Yeah,
I'll go for it.
Or obviously, if someone offers it to me, I'm not going to be rude and be like, no, I don't want your crappy beer.
Right.
But this is better.
Most
this is
popular
better.
Beer in America.
It
Bud
is.
Light.
Yeah.
Budweiser is the most popular in Canada.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Not like Molson or something. No, but this is pretty good. This is pretty good. I will give this like a solid B, you know, like solid B plus.
I'd give it a B plus.
Yeah.
B plus. And I don't know if that rating is based on the alphabet or not. I'm giving it a solid little honeybee, a little plus sign next to it.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I don't know if the grade is higher because I'm thinking of what Bud is normally.
We're probably grading on a little bit of a curve where we're like, well, you know, it could be a lot worse. So, you know, I'll give it a B plus. But it's pretty good. It's pretty good. If you served me this beer and told me it was some, you know, obscure craft beer, some craft brewery, local or whatever, I'd try it and I'd be like, oh, that's not half bad.
It's pretty good.
That's probably not half bad.
If this is what's offered, I'd definitely have a few more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we got a sixer of them here, so.
Well, so there will be a few more.
All right. So.
We're moving on. We did another segment of our wonderfully popular. Let me tell you why it's wonderful.
Yes,
indeed. This time it was your turn to mm-hmm. watch something of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing was David E. Kelly's Lake Placid.
Lake Placid, 1999, is it?
1999, Lake Placid, Fox Studios.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, it was a movie.
this is a movie about a crocodile that somehow ends up in Maine and is ransacking.
It's just terrorizing the people.
The people and the animals of Maine.
Of this lake that is not called Lake Placid, but they wanted to call it that, but then they found out there was already a Lake Placid.
Not in Maine.
Not in Maine. So then they were like, well, we'll still call the movie this.
Yep.
For reasons.
I don't understand.
I think that feels like a marketing department decision of like, oh, well, it's like a pun, get it? Because it's like not actually Placid in the lake. And there's a place called Lake Placid, so.
Right. If there wasn't a place called Lake Placid, it would make more sense, or just set it at Lake Placid.
It's stupid. It's a stupid title. Okay. So there were things about this movie. There was some funny dialogue. There were some funny quips back mm-hmm. and forth. Should also mention that we finished watching this movie like 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the things aren't, and I didn't really take notes. I was trying to, I figured, well, we're going to talk about it right after.
Right.
It turns out maybe I should have taken some notes because a couple of the lines that were funny, mm-hmm. Would have been better, but oh well. There were some funny quippy lines. Overall, I would say this movie is like Jaws meets Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park,
that's
if you will.
And that's absolutely the pitch for this movie. Mm-hmm. David E. Kelly goes in and says, I want to make Jurassic Park and Jaws.
Jurassic Shark. No, it's not even shark.
But it's not even a shark. It's crocodile.
Yeah.
Because the template for the Jaws template is used, right?
Right.
You have, with an extra character, you have the sheriff.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You have the sheriff. That's the, you know, whatever. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yep.
You have the fish and wildlife. You have the Quint-ish character. You know, the Quint-ish character that's, you know, this is what we do. We hunt, you know, we hunt these things and, you know, we make sure the nature is okay and blah, blah, blah. And you have the specialist.
Right.
You have your trio plus Bridget Fonda.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, who is...
Yes.
So, like, the personalities are kind of looped in a different way, except for the specialist in some way. The specialist is still, like, the, I'm crazy.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm rich, just like Richard Dreyfuss.
Yes.
I do all of this myself.
But I also so I thought he was going to be, Oliver Platt's character was going to be the Newman.
Oh, and I thought he was Jurassic Park Newman.
And I thought he was going to, you know, get killed on the toilet.
No, the lawyer gets killed on the toilet.
Oh, shoot, you're right. You're right. Yeah. I thought he was going to be more of that piece aside. I thought he was going to be more of that character when he first appeared. But turns out, yes, he was more of the Richard Dreyfuss.
He's the Richard Dreyfuss.
He was.
In fact, none of them are Newman.
No, none of them are. So it was amusing. It was funny for the most part. it just wasn't super. And there was pretty good action. You know, the scenes where the Crocagator is actually going after him and stuff were pretty good.
Yep.
Betty White was delightful,
wasn't she?
Just swearing up, like a sailor,
yes, swearing up a storm.
And so she's been feeding the croc.
That's
for
correct.
6 years.
That's correct.
Her husband. It followed her husband home one day.
Yep.
And then it accidentally killed her husband, but she doesn't hold it against it.
That's right.
And she keeps feeding it.
Because she'd be crazy.
Because she'd be crazy. And she keeps feeding it cows.
Mm-hmm.
Whole live cows.
Whole cows. Where she gets these cows and how can she afford to do this? Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows?
She had no problem telling an officer of the law that she killed her husband.
Nope. Nope.
Even when that wasn't actually true.
That's correct.
She still had no problem just being like, oh, yeah, I killed him. Yeah, he wanted me to.
Because then, according to her, what she's been doing is not illegal. And so, technically, she shouldn't have a problem telling them it's a crocodile as opposed to killing her husband.
If she really believes it's not illegal,
yep.
She shouldn't have a problem saying that.
Yep. And it is obstruction of justice.
It is obstruction of justice.
And,
that is true.
And where is she at the end of the film?
Not in jail.
Still at home, feeding baby crocodiles.
That was the best. That was the funniest thing in the whole movie. Because we found out there were two giant crocodators.
One was giant, one was regular.
Oh,
size.
One was regular. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was like a perspective thing. Yeah. I couldn't tell. I thought one of them was giant. Okay. So I thought, like, oh, I guess they mated and they made all these baby crocs that are going to grow up to be giant.
Mm.
So then I don't really know what happened. Or where
they made like Placids 2, 3, and 4.
They did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
John Schneider is in the third one, I think.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something. So you assigned me this movie.
Yes.
And you told me, don't look at who's in it, like, until you're watching it.
Okay.
Because there's somebody big in it that you're going to like.
Oh, okay.
Or is it something along those lines?
That person was Betty White for
that person
the
was Betty White, as it turned out. So I was looking at, you said, oh, and also, like, be careful offline. You told me, like, be careful because there's more than one. So, like, mm-hmm. make sure you're watching the right one, 1999. And so I went to look to see what, you know, what streaming service I could watch it on or whatever.
Sure.
And I accidentally saw, I guess I saw three, like Placid 3, because I saw John Schneider's name next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, this is what Tim didn't want me to see. He didn't want me to see John Schneider's in the movie. Oh, well, I won't, you know, I won't tell him that I found out. So even going into the movie tonight, I thought I was waiting for John Schneider's name to pop up.
Oh, no.
And then Betty White popped up, and I was like, wait, what? And you were like, yeah, that's the one. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
And then silently you were just sad.
No, I wasn't. Not at all. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? No, I wasn't sad at all.
That John Schneider wasn't in the movie.
No, I just figured, well, I was like, oh, okay, it must be a different movie. So it turns out that was the third one. Okay, that's what that was.
I'm pretty sure it was the third one.
Well, whichever. It doesn't really matter. I don't think I'm going to be watching 2, 3, or 4. So,
you know, I've never actually seen the other ones. This one is enough for me. I don't actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need the other ones in
my
life. It's okay.
This was so. Tell me about how did you first see this movie?
Oh, he's in the second one.
He's in the second one.
He's
okay.
in the second
okay.
one. I had to look it up. I used my lookup. I saw this movie in the summer of 1999. I think it came out in August. I have a fairly clear memory of
this. Wow.
And my cousins were visiting from Wyoming.
Oh, wow.
And this was a thing in the movies, and it was my brother and my cousin and I, we just went to go see it. And we were one of the only people in the theater.
Nice.
Of course. Of course.
So it did well at the box office, is what you're saying.
Oh, so well at the box office with its 40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know, and 40%. This movie has 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. I want to put that in perspective.
Okay.
I want to put that in perspective for a second. Just as a feeling. Batman v Superman has 27% on Rotten Tomatoes. This movie has 40%. 40% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh my God. That's so wrong.
Isn't that wrong?
That's so wrong.
I mean,
I was no huge fan of Batman v Superman, but it doesn't deserve to be ranked lower than this movie.
No, it doesn't.
And not by a 13-point spread.
That's a huge difference. Suicide Squad has a 26% on Rotten Tomatoes. This movie
wow.
is 14 points hire this side squad.
This piece of crap. Oh, my God. I mean, listen, it has its moments. It's amusing at times. It's funny.
I don't think this movie... The movie's not overly scary. I think...
No, it's not overly scary.
The beginning is a little creepy because it does the Jaws thing where you can't see. You don't know where it is. It holds back its reveal and whatever else.
And it's... I mean, it's scary if you are opposed to bloody, gory... Like, and there's not even that many moments of it, but there's a couple of very graphic things, like that opening sequence.
Right, exactly. And so... So it has those, but the writing of David E. Kelly, makes it, his dialogue is so snappy and it's not even really corny. Like the dialogue is delivered. It's good. It's almost good. And the premise is so dumb. That's what can't save it. You know,
the dialogue is mostly pretty good. The Bridget Fonda character is from New York City.
The museum in New York.
The museum. They call it the museum in New York. She's from New York. Everybody else is from Maine. Takes place in Maine. I have exposure to both of those places. I'm from New York. My wife's from Maine.
Indeed.
Spent a good chunk of time in both places. And I feel like this movie did a... I don't know where David E. Kelly is from. I mean, imagine it's not Maine, but... Could be wrong.
I'm going to assume that it's wrong. I'll use your lookup if you want.
Okay, sure. Yeah, since you've got it open already, go ahead. But I feel like he did write by Mainers more than he did by New Yorkers.
Oh, definitely.
Like,
David Kelly was born in 1956 and is originally from Maine.
No kidding, really?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Hey, wow, that's awesome. Good
attended
for me.
Princeton and BU Law School.
Okay. All right. He was
married to Michelle Pfeiffer.
Wow.
I'm learning a lot here.
Huh. Huh. All right. So it's from Maine. Did it say where in Maine? Where he was born?
Waterville.
I have no idea where that is. Okay. Well, anyway, so that would explain why he did write by Maine.
It's north of Augusta.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Well, so that explains why he knows Mainers so well. And his contempt for New Yorkers was pretty obvious.
Whoa, is it ever?
Oh my
Everyone
God.
From New York in this movie is terrible.
It's just
terrible.
An awful, awful person.
But see, Bridget Fonda learns not to be terrible.
Yeah, whatever.
You know, her hair starts in a tight updo,
yeah,
and by the
so
end
true.
Of the movie, it's down because she's loosened up.
She's let loose.
And stuff, yeah. You know?
And Mariska Hargitay is her best friend who's also sleeping with her boyfriend who also is her boss.
Yep.
Everybody's terrible. Bridget Fonda is awful when she comes to Maine at first, and she's just like talking about how they're all
right. Well, I love when they're flying in, and the pilot's like, "So this is the town," and she's like,
"Don't talk to me."
That pilot is actually the director.
Is it really?
Yeah, Steve Miner.
Oh, nice,
yeah.
Nice.
I should say, is not a. I don't want to call him a schlub. He's not a schlub director like I've never seen or heard from him again. He directed Halloween H2O and Friday the 13th Part 2.
Oh, wow.
Which is, you know, the real Jason Voorhees as opposed to the mother of Friday the 13th.
So he is well-versed in horror movie sequels.
He's got some cred on him, I guess, from there.
Did he direct any of the Lake Placid sequels?
I don't believe so. Oh.
Anyway, interesting. Interesting. Huh. I'm learning all kinds of stuff right now.
There you go.
Miner, David E. Kelly. So John Ottman scored this movie.
Yes.
Which I was surprised about, but it was actually a pretty decent score.
I think it's a good score.
He gets put in this place over and over again of having to fill John Williams' shoes Superman Returns, with this, you know, obvious Jaws parallel movie.
Yep.
He's gotten put in that position a couple times now, and he's a very, you know, pretty respectable composer.
He's a fairly talented man because he's a
film editor too.
He's a film editor. He edits all of Bryan Singer's films and scores the films, which is a smart combination, right?
It really
because
is a smart combination.
Most directors they edit to a particular score in mind, which is a temp track. It's not meant to be the real score. But when you do that, then the composer gets stuck in this place where they have to compose music based on what was already in the director's mind from another film.
Yes, which has been the bane of so many composers' existence, especially the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, Danny Elfman has it.
Yeah,
he does. Rant about it.
There's a really good YouTube video. If I can find it, I'll throw it in the show notes. There's a really good YouTube video that talks about why all the Marvel scores sound the same. Have you watched this?
Yes, I think that's actually where you can see the Danny Elfman rant about it. I mean, rant makes it sound bad, but he's very to the point. And it does create a problem. This score doesn't really sound like anything else. So it doesn't sound like Jaws. It doesn't do Jaws.
Although at one point there was one tiny, tiny moment where he did bump, 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 maybe two or three players of the... I think it was strings. He kind of...
just a little bit.
A little homage. A tiny little homage where he actually threw in something that sounded like the
Jaws.
That's
true. If you don't keep doing it, then it's a homage.
Yeah.
If you do it over and over and over again,
exactly.
Then you're ripping it off.
Then you're ripping it off. But he did a little da-da-da-da type of thing that sounded just a little bit. It was a second, and it was, if you blinked, you missed it. But
I think I actually did miss it on this go around.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe I was reading too much into it. I mean, it is just two notes. But
this movie is also Jaws in Maine with a crocodile.
It is very much. So
probably why I like it so much.
Yeah, that probably is.
Because I love Jaws. It's one of my favorite films.
Right, right.
And so I've never really thought about it, but it does make sense to me that I would like this movie.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I could also hate this movie because it's a blatant Jaws ripoff.
True, but it's done with enough. And you saw it at the right age.
I did. 1999, so I was...
10 or 11?
10 or 11,
yeah. That's the right age.
Yeah, maybe just about turned 12. Just turned 12. And so I was just at that age where... they're funny and it's quippy and whatever else, and you know, it's almost like an informative age.
It is, and that's an age where a lot of things imprint on you, right? And they stay with you for a while. So the music was very good. The editing was. I don't think he edited. I don't think John Ottman edited.
I don't think
one.
So.
No, I don't think he did. But and interesting. This would have same year as X-Men, I guess, huh? 99. Or X-Men 2000.
X-Men was 2000.
2000, okay.
So it was the year out, yeah. This was the, X-Men was the year after.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Same studio, though.
Same studio.
Yeah.
Same studio. The effects were pretty good.
Well, Stan Winston.
Is
practical effects for the crocodile.
Yeah.
Because they were like, you made dinosaurs, can you just make...
Right.
Could you just elongate...
Right.
...for us and make a crocodile? Not a lot of Stan Winston in here.
No, because it was mostly CG. At least I got
that. Especially by the
end. When it was on land.
It was CG mostly by the end.
When it was on land, it was definitely mostly CG. But in water, I think there was a lot of practical. And even on land, there were some shots where you could tell, if it was, right near the camera, you could tell that it was, a half model thing.
I think the one that's most striking is when Oliver Platton is in the water, it turns around, and the crocodile is right there. Because that's a practical effect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the crocodile is... monstrous, and it looks great. The crocodile measures, because at the end it's on a flatbed,
which is
45 feet, and it covers the flatbed, so it's a 45-foot crocodile, which is it's 25 feet bigger than any crocodile ever recorded.
Wow.
It is a monster. It's not realistic.
How did you know 45 feet? Because they kept saying 30 feet.
The flatbed?
Yeah.
I looked it up.
Oh, okay. That is a huge, huge animal. The paw print, the track that they found that they were trying to make a casting of, it's bigger than your head, giant, giant paw prints.
It's definitely, they wanted to make it like a dinosaur.
Right.
Because that's why Kelly, who, I love that David E. Kelly wrote a main character.
Oh,
with his
I didn't
last
think
name.
About that.
Yeah. But that's why she's there, because the one museum in New York was contacted to send her, and the whole time, museums don't send paleontologists to Maine. And I'm like, well, they might.
I mean, if you found what seems to be probably a dinosaur, they might.
They might. They're like, no, dinosaurs weren't in Maine. Lols. Hangs the phone. No.
So why is this movie wonderful?
Why do I like this movie so much?
Why is this movie wonderful?
You know, it's a good question. I don't really know. this is something where I can't pinpoint. I think it's stupid fun. Like, there's no point to it. It's less than an hour and a half of your time.
It's like an hour and 15.
It's like an hour. It's an hour and 15 if you don't watch the credits.
Right.
It's almost a nothing. It's almost a nothing movie.
75 minutes. Like,
right.
Very
I've seen cartoons that are longer than this movie.
Yeah. And Beauty and the Beast is like that long.
Right. It's a nothing movie. And I think it's fun to watch. It's really, I guess, for character interaction that I enjoy because Bridget Fonda is good. Bill Pullman's good. Oliver Platt is great. Brendan Gleeson is great. Yeah. You know, Betty White is hysterical. Oh my God, yeah. And so it's just, I think it's just like a mindless, it's a movie that should not have been in the theater, but it was.
It feels like a direct-to-video movie.
Yes. It's a direct-to-video movie with a B-minus cast. Because this was before Brendan Gleeson was famous and making award-winning films.
Right, right.
I don't know what happened to Bridget Fonda.
I don't know what she's been up to in the last 17, 18 years. Since
Just a few years after Independence Day, so Bill Pullman's kind of...
Yeah, he's still riding high. He's only 3 years after.
Right, still riding the Bill Pullman wave, the Independence Day wave. You know, and all... This is my first movie I ever saw Oliver Platt in or Brendan Gleeson.
Mm.
And so... and. They're just delightful.
They are.
I think it's really the incredible amount of sarcasm that's in this film that attracts me to
it. There really is. There is so much sarcasm.
Brendan Gleeson even comments it on in the film where he's like, the first conversation you hear in the movie is him talking to a Fish and Wildlife guy about how they don't like the sheriff's office. You only get one word answers. And he's like, oh, one word, sarcastic. And then he meets Bill Pullman, who's sarcastic in full sentence. He's like, oh, a full sentence sarcastic. Like, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
It just keeps going.
Yeah. It's funny.
It is.
It does actually capture some things, I think, about Maine pretty accurately.
Okay, explain.
So my wife is from Maine.
Take a drink. Frank mentioned his wife.
Her family, they have this little cabin and we go up there in the summer, and it's near a lake. And
has your mother-in-law been known to bring bread down to the dock to feed the crocodiles?
Not that I know of, but, you know, maybe she's keeping it a secret like Betty White did. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, and so it we didn't really see a whole lot of the town, whatever town was near the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really compare that. But I don't know, the sort of the general feel of the attitude of the people, the sheriff and the Fish and Wildlife. And
sure.
Like, I mean, Fish and Game warden. Like, they just all, it seemed, something rang true about it. It looked like maybe it might have been shot in Maine, or at least someplace that looked very much like it.
It was shot in Canada.
Shot in Canada. All right. Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was something that felt real. And then the New Yorker came in and just started being like, wah, everything's dirty. You're probably sleeping with your sister. Wah! Like, just came in, and I was just like, this is so heavy-handed. This is so heavy.
But it is the jokes.
Yeah.
They are the jokes that we make about.
Oh, yeah.
About, you know, everybody makes jokes about different states. That's just right. Part of being right. In America.
Yes, right. All the city people make redneck jokes. All the people in the more rural areas make, you know.
City jokes.
Rude city slicker jokes. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Absolutely.
And so it is like a clash of civilizations,
yes,
almost,
yes,
in here. But we all unite together because it's not just, you know, it's not city and rural versus nature. It's just people versus nature. It's man versus nature.
That's right. It was a fun movie. I probably wouldn't watch it again unless someone like really, really wanted to.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I would watch it again tomorrow.
Good for you. So okay, let's do a little retrospective here. So far, I have watched Judge Dredd.
Yep.
And Lake Placid.
That's correct.
You have watched Xanadu and Tron Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed Judge Dredd.
Yep.
This was fine. Lake Placid was fine. It was very entertaining in parts. I definitely was not bored. I definitely wasn't sitting there being like, oh my God, why is he making me watch this? Like, none of that. I would tell you if I did feel that way.
Sure.
It was fine. It was good. It was. I liked Judge Dredd a lot better than I liked this.
This Lake Placid to you was Tron Legacy to me.
Okay.
It was fine.
Yeah.
You'd have to pretty much twist my arm to watch it again.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't like run into the other room.
Sure.
It would be on and it would be fine. Sure. I was amused during parts. for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I would probably not even spend much time watching. If I was flipping channels and this was on, I might pause on it for a second and be like, oh, what part of the movie are they up to? Oh, okay, I know where we are. And then I change the channel. Sure. Whereas if I was changing channels and Judge Dredd came on, I'd be like, that's it. We're watching the rest
we're
of this now.
Judge Dredd. He is the law. Yeah. I have to watch this.
Oh, good.
This.
It's only 15 minutes in. I can watch most of it. You know, yeah. I would seek out Judge Dredd and watch it again. You know, when the mood struck me, I'd be like, I feel like watching that again. But this probably not.
And it's funny. This movie, I would stay on, except if it was the end. And not because, you know, it's the end, I miss most of it, but because the most amusing parts to me are when they're like, it's a crocodile, it's not a crocodile, right, what do right, we right. do? We're at a party, but now that you're here, you know, whatever. Those are my favorite,
okay,
bits.
Okay.
You know, you promised not to hurt him, remember, I lied.
That was funny, yeah, that's a good one.
You know, things like that. Sheriff, some things don't stick out when friends or family say them to you. So as a total stranger, I'm going to say this to you now. You're fat. so dumb.
I would like a buddy movie with the two of them.
They're so good. Oliver Platt's face at the end when Brendan Gleeson is like, when he's going in the ambulance, Brendan Gleeson's like, I'll go with him. He's like, no. I made a friend.
I know.
It's like we're gonna have many adventures together.
Especially because like earlier he was trying to bond with him, and the sheriff was like, "It's better if we don't talk."
Yeah,
he was like, "I'm trying to make a friend here," and he's like, "Nope, don't want. Nope, bye bye.
No, hate sorry."
You. Super fine. The traps. When he kept
falling in the traps. He paid us $500. He's like, "You took money from him."
Like, a check.
Yeah. We took a check. So good.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's just little things like that. I think movies, I'm sometimes easily amused, or I like movies that just kind of tickle my funny bone when I don't expect
sure.
them to.
Sure, yes.
You know, sometimes my favorite, I guess, comedies or things that I find amusing are not comedies.
Yeah.
You know, you don't look, when a movie sets out to amuse you that way, I guess.
Yeah.
But this is my favorite style of comedy, I think. Snappy dialogue, sarcastic yeah. wit. You know, everybody's taken a master class in sarcasm.
Right.
And jokes.
The whole movie doesn't take itself too seriously. You know, like,
not even remotely.
There's nothing super dramatic about, I mean, it's dramatic in that it's scary, but like, it's not a great character piece. It's not trying to be. It's just,
no.
It's, you know, like, it's not taking itself too seriously. It's a little bit of a schlocky horror movie to enjoy. And
you would almost, it would almost do better if it was promoted as a like a spoof on Jaws.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
as
kinda.
Opposed, because it does take itself just seriously
just
enough that it's like, it's not presenting to you a comedy or a spoof. It's just presenting to you a film.
Right. It's not pretending to be, it's not presenting itself as a spoof of like here's Scary Movie, you know, Jaws edition or whatever, like it,
right?
And it's not. It doesn't feel like that either.
No,
but I do hear what you're saying. That if it was sort of marketed that way, it might do better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because if you don't go in treating it serious in any way,
yeah,
then maybe you're scared a little bit because you're not expecting to be. But
your guards down.
You laugh a bunch. It's just it's a good time.
It's fun. It's fun. I would say it is the kind of thing that if I had stumbled upon it on TV. I would have probably just watched it and I would have laughed at how bad it is.
Sure.
Which is basically what I did when we watched
yeah.
it. So
you did laugh quite a bit.
I did
laugh.
It was funny. It had a lot of funny moments.
Yeah.
So overall, yeah, it was fine. It was pretty good. But it has now come time. The time has come for me to give you your next assignment.
Yay.
Okay. You might, the first one that I have in mind, you may have seen already, so I have a backup just in case.
Okay.
Have you ever seen Walt Disney's Melody Time?
No, I haven't. And it's interesting that you say that because I was just listening to a podcast about it. And
I think I was listening to the same podcast.
Disorder. Every Disney movie yeah. in order. Yeah. It's a great
Did
podcast.
You listen to their episode on it?
I started it, and then I said, you know what? I have not seen this, and I can't follow it without...
It's hard. It's hard, yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually what brought it to mind, partly because I want to watch it again. So
okay. All right.
I haven't seen it in many years, but I remember enjoying it and listening to the Disorder review of it. You know, they kind of gave it a, you know, middle-of-the-road review. I think it's more fun than they gave it credit for. So I would like to revisit it, and I would like your take on it, because it is it's one of the Disney they're called package films. Basically, they took a bunch of shorts and put them together into
an anthology of animated vignettes sent to contemporary music.
Yes.
I'm gonna look at some photos of this. Oh nope, I definitely haven't seen this.
Okay.
I've seen some of them.
Maybe you've seen some of the vignettes.
Look at the one where there's a guy in a carriage with a girl, or a sled with a girl.
Yep.
There's the tugboat, which I've seen.
Little Toot went out one day.
Do 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 do. There's a guy on a horse, which I think I've seen.
Yeah.
The Three Caballeros.
Well, there's a few different Three Caballeros things from different movies, so you may or may not have seen that one. I don't know.
Oh, the cover is even super familiar. You know, I think I might have seen this many, many, many years ago, like when I was just a little kid.
Old tyke.
But I couldn't tell you the order of things, or if it's any good or not, or
we'll count that as not having seen it. That seems like you're unfamiliar enough that it. You know, if you watch it today, it would be like the first time seeing it.
Yeah, I could not. Yeah, can't tell you enough about it. So, okay. Melody Time it is.
All right, sounds good.
Melody Time it is. Okay.
All right.
Well, that means that you can find us on the internet at all places podcasts can be found, such as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google, Overcast, all the such things. You are more than welcome to go to beerwithgeeks.com and find us there, or thoughtbubbleaudio.com, where you can check out all of our other Thought Bubble Audio shows. You can also head over to patreon.com/thoughtbubbleaudio to see all the goodies that we have in store for you there if you'd like to donate even a very small sum of $1 a month towards the cause. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Beer with Geeks. That is all I have to say on the matter. Do you have anything to say?
I just have one final thing to say.
And that is
cheers.